This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila. And first up, as COVID cases continue to rise, some former patients are speaking out about the stigma that they carry with them even after recovery.
Yeah, so in a Malaysia Kini article yesterday, a 25-year-old patient, ex-patient rather, who was discharged, talked about how she suffers from social stigma, with colleagues putting on face masks when they see her and still looking at her with fear, even though she's already recovered. Covered and been discharged. You know, her friends come up with different excuses to not meet with her. You know, she has to dine alone. Her mother has been giving her food in disposable containers for fear that she'll infect her other family members, even though she, as I said, has recovered and been discharged.
Yes. So I think it's worth talking about the fact that while she was discharged positive. So this is in line with what the MOH has been talking about, right? That if you are no longer symptomatic, if your virus load is low, even if you test positive, you may be discharged because you are no longer infectious. And so I think that that is the complicating factor in this story, because I mean, never mind the fact that this story has layers. I think even in general, when we talk about COVID-19, there continue to be very, very basic misunderstandings or very, very basic questions. And I don't blame everyone. I think there's just been a lot of information coming our way for a year. But yeah, I think that there is still a lot of confusion about how you get the virus, you know, who is still considered infectious. If you see a former patient, or, you know, how exactly can you interact with somebody? And so it's very unfortunate to hear that someone is being treated this way by all their friends and family, essentially, or by most of them, seems to be what she's talking about.
Yes, and you know, part of what that article, as well as the patient herself, has been saying is that there needs to be clearer guidelines. You know, there have been calls for the Ministry of Health to provide a list of FAQs, for instance, for the public to create awareness, to decide what to do with what they should be doing with the public who have been discharged or who are ex-patients, or in this case, for instance, you know, discharged but tested positive. And without those kinds of guidelines, unfortunately, I think we haven't had a lot of clarity. I remember speaking to MP Kelvin Yee way back when he was tested positive. And honestly, a lot of the hesitation or the stigma hasn't improved, even though that was, gosh, that was early on in this whole thing.
Yeah, so you would think that at this point in time, where because it is so rife and it is so present in the community, most of us now, I think, know somebody who has been either a POS or a patient, or, you know, we are aware of people in our lives who have come in contact with COVID-19. And so you would think that the stigma perhaps would be lessened, but that doesn't seem to be the case at all. And in fact, I think as the number of infections continue to rise, and therefore the fears and anxieties of the early days of the MCO, you know, of pretty much this exact time last year, if anything, I think as these feelings rise, so too do these feelings of discomfort. But that's where that's where proper information comes in, right? And that's why it's so important to have very, very clear, very, very simple guidelines about why it is that people are being discharged, how you can interact with people, and who is safe to interact with and how, you know, because I think that it is that kind of confusion that is leading to the stigma, and that can then lead to longer term, I would imagine, you know, longer term mental and emotional issues.
Oh, yeah. You know, we hear about former patients feeling isolated, struggling with a sense of guilt sometimes, you know, that they may have exposed the people in their lives to the virus, or even being made to feel guilty by the people around them. So it's not just about feeling isolated in your day-to-day routines. It's really also about mental health and how it feels to have to go through these sorts of things.
So we are going to be talking in a bit more detail about the stigma, social stigma, facing former COVID-19 patients. And we're going to be doing that with Anas Amdan from Sabah Bangkit, which is an independent youth movement currently working to increase awareness on this very issue. But we'd love to hear from you. Have you personally seen this sort of stigma in action? Do you know somebody who has recovered from or is dealing with COVID-19? And how has that changed your interactions with them, perhaps, or the interactions of others with them? Let us know. Share your stories. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bigotry Free Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Sharmila. We're talking about the social stigma that former COVID-19 patients talk about facing even after they recover. And we want to know what your experiences in this area have been, whether you've seen this in action, and for that matter, whether you know anybody who has faced COVID-19 or is in recovery and how their lives have been affected. If you'd like to share any stories at all, we want to hear them. That number to call is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, joining us on the line is Anas Amdan from Sabah Bangkit, which is an independent youth movement currently working to increase awareness on stigma affecting COVID-19 patients. Anas, thank you so much for joining us. So let's start off by talking about why Sabah Bangkit is highlighting this issue.
Yeah, first and foremost, thank you BFM for giving us the opportunity to discuss about the stigma going on among the recovered COVID-19 patients. Honestly, we were actually not very aware about this situation until a few of our friends in Jabatan Kesihatan Negeri Sabah, who are the medical frontliners, they told us that many of the recovered patients are suffering from this negative stigma and discrimination. We received some info from the psychiatry unit at Hospital Mesra Bukit Padang that they are receiving a lot of calls from ex-COVID patients losing their job because of COVID-19. And in the rural areas, some even got thrown by rocks and rejected by the community. So it was a pretty big concern. So they asked us, Sabah Bangkit, as a content creator actually, to create an awareness campaign about it. Yeah.
So Anas, can you tell us more about how stigma affects people who have tested positive or even those who have recovered?
Yeah, at the moment, it's a big concern because we are not aware of the people who have recovered from the COVID-19. Actually, we are aware, okay, how the people who are tested positive, we have a few talks about it, but we are not really talking about what happens next. And when I heard the stories from the frontliners, medical frontliners, saying that, oh, they are receiving a lot of calls, like people are suffering from depression and anxiety and self-blaming. There's not enough psychosocial support. I think that's the most important part, to spread the awareness about the recovered patients. So, yeah, to me, we still have more work to do to spread the awareness. Yeah.
Talk to us about, I guess, the factors that that lead to the stigma existing.
I think it's the fear and anxiety among the community, because we usually like fear what we don't fully understand. So people will start associate the disease with things like population or nationality, even though not everyone in the population is specifically at risk for the disease. But, you know, sometimes we are very paranoid saying that, oh, because this, you know, is unhealthy and they are start associating with place or things. So most of us are kind of not helping in a way of, you know, reducing the stigma. And yeah, and then I think the fear and anxiety is the main reason why.
Now, you've highlighted on your Facebook page how, you know, these worries of these negative perceptions from others might actually keep those who have tested positive from informing the people that they've come into contact with. How greatly does this affect the efforts to prevent the virus from spreading?
Yeah, we were told by the doctors, the medical partners, there are many stages that the patients have to go through when they are tested positive. First is like, you know, finding out that you are positive. And then the second part is the quarantine. Then you have to, you know, take care of your health and also your mental health. And after that, the recovery. So there's like three stages that is a lot for one person to go through. And then we were told that the usual case for most COVID patients is how to tell the story, how to accept the fact that you are tested positive. Because the first stages that they feel are usually denial. They do not accept or believe the bad news that this is not happening to me. And then they start to feel angry, like whose fault is this? And, you know, and they are also dwelling over what could they have done to prevent it. So before they start to accept the fact, okay, let just go on with it and, you know, and start to accept the fact and then try to recover as fast as possible. So to me, the stages that they go through is quite a lot. And that's why I think they are suffering not just from physical health, but also from mental health. Yeah.
And tell us more about the work that Sabah Bangkit is doing to spread awareness about this stigma.
Yeah, we decided to come up with like a short video of a mother going through the journey of being tested positive. And the first part of finding out that she is positive is to tell her most close and trusted person so that the news wouldn't like blow up and, you know, people start panicking. So this mother start to tell her sister first before deciding to tell the husband and also to tell the children. So imagine going through just that is also very mentally challenging. And before, like, you know, telling the news to the co-workers, the best friends, to, you know, to tell them to take this test as well, as we have been the close contact. So it's about sharing the story lah. It's about telling the people around you like what to do. So because there's a lot of information going on at that time. So we started to came up with this short video. So to tell not to panic and to accept and also to have support going through the journey lah, from quarantine to recovery.
So what else do you think can be done to address this problem?
Yeah, I think psychosocial support is important because I know recently we have like celebrities got tested positive for COVID-19 and they got like a support letter from ministers, they got video call from everywhere. So I think even the common people need that. So we need to have like people showing empathy, showing compassion and support. And, you know, some of them are sometimes alone. They don't have anyone to talk to. So we need to share this awareness to all communities. And it's also important to share only facts and to avoid false news. I have an example where my neighbor, they thought that the mother is positive, COVID positive, but actually it was the driver's mother. So when you share false news, it's not going to help. And to me, as a community, you also have to speak up if you see or read like discriminatory comments, like people saying that, oh, they're because this is not following SOP. And, you know, you have to speak up from those lah, and show compassion and support. Yep.
And finally, what message would you like to leave, especially to those who are feeling right now the effects of that stigma?
I think, personally, I just don't want to overpromise. I just want to give them an honest hope that what they are going through right now is important. Feel whatever you are feeling now, like to embrace them. Don't resist or try to push away the emotions, just to acknowledge them. And of course, we could not control the situation, but we are still able to control our actions, our breathing, our exercise, our diet and our activity.
Anas, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Anas Amdan from Sabah Bangkit, which is an independent youth movement working to increase awareness on stigma affecting COVID-19 patients. You can find out more about their work on sabahbangkit.my. We are going to be speaking after the news with a COVID-19 patient who is currently going through it all, and we'll be hearing about their experience. But in the meantime, we wanted to hear from you. I mean, considering the rate of COVID-19 spread, especially here in the Klang Valley, it's really frightening. And I think at this point, so many of us know people who have had COVID-19 or who have tested positive, who may in fact be going through these issues of stigma. So let us know. I mean, what have your experiences been like? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Shamila, for me, I think the main thing that stood out from speaking to Anas was something he said really early on, which was that for some people, they've been chased away by rocks. I think that was a story that he said right at the beginning. And I find that just so, so sad.
No, I think there is, rightfully, there is a lot of fear. But at the same time, what happens in the process is people forget that we are dealing with humans, that we're dealing with people with feelings who often may not have actually done anything specific that we wouldn't be doing to contract the virus. I think it's a slippery slope when we start pointing fingers. Admittedly, yes, we should all be following the SOPs. We should be following the guidelines. However, when someone does get it, it doesn't automatically mean that they were flagrantly flouting the rules. Especially as it seems to be coming closer now, it's very tough to kind of hone in on what could have caused someone to get it.
Yes, I think it also perhaps doesn't sufficiently grapple with the fact that for many people, one of the most present fears and anxieties around this is really the idea that I'm going to get it and then I'm going to infect the people closest to me. I think that that is an ever-present fear, especially if you are somebody who doesn't really fall into the really high-risk categories with the comorbidities and so on. You know, if you are a relatively young, relatively healthy person, at least speaking for myself, I think the general fear with COVID-19 is that you will be someone who endangers others. And so the idea then that there is stigma, I think, is doubly painful.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I had a near scare a few months ago. And my worry wasn't really about myself. It was the fact that I had seen my mom in that time, or that I had been to see my co-workers, for instance. And a lot of that is, a lot of the fear wasn't for myself at all. A lot of it was this strange combination of guilt and just sort of beating myself up inside because of exactly what you just said. And which is why I think that the sort of othering of people who have contracted the virus, who are going through it, is particularly unintentionally perhaps, but cruel. There's no other way to say it, because they are already going through so much.
Yes. So tell us, I mean, we are hearing from former patients that the social stigma of having had COVID-19 is just another horrible element to the overall experience. We want to know your thoughts on this. Again, that number to call is 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. After the news today, we will be speaking with somebody who recently tested positive, I believe, about their experience. That will be coming after the 5:30 news. Getting us there, though, is some music. Here's CCR with Cotton Fields, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It's 5:37. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn and Shamila, and we are spending this hour looking at social stigma that is facing former COVID-19 patients. But I think, more broadly, it's just the stigma that COVID-19 brings, you know, whether it is when you've just tested positive or when you're worried that you've come into contact with somebody. I think we see it extended across the board.
I think it, whether you know for sure or whether you haven't, the fact that this is something that you need to tell people about, you need to the ideal is that you inform the people you've come into contact with. And I think part of the problem is that you never quite know how they're going to react to you. Mm. I mean, you might get sympathy, but you're probably also going to get a fair amount of wanting to be kept at literally more than arm's length.
So we're talking about this because it's really been an issue that's percolated throughout the pandemic. And most recently, there was an article in Malaysia Kini in which a 25-year-old ex-patient talks about all these different things, about her family being afraid to, you know, share a meal with her, about colleagues who don't want to interact with her, friends who are afraid to meet up. So we just wanted to know, what are your thoughts on this? I guess it's open season to talk about the fears and anxieties we have surrounding this virus. Let us know your thoughts and your experiences. That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. So we're now crossing over to Ashley, who is a positive patient currently under quarantine in MAEPS, which is the low-risk quarantine centre set up by the government to house patients who are in phase 1 to 2 of COVID-19. Ashley, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, no problem.
Could you share your experience so far since you've been tested positive?
Sure. So once we test positive, we get a call from KKM and they ask us about our symptoms and whether we're feeling good or not. I think that's how they decide whether to send us to MAPES or whether to send us to hospital. And they pick you up sometime around midday. I would say I got picked up around 7 or 8 at night. And then they check you in. It takes quite a long time, but you get checked in into MAPES and you get settled in and they feed you. That's about it. You get monitored throughout the day.
So we've been spending this half hour really talking about this issue of stigma. And I was just curious whether that was something you were worried about at all after you received your test results.
For sure, I definitely thought about it, whether what people would think. But at the end of the day, I think it's really important to talk about it because it is a big global thing going on right now. And we need to educate other people about it, whether you're positive or negative. I do have a lot of people asking me about symptoms and not really understanding it. So I go through my personal social media and I like to update people every day about what's going on in the centre as well as personally what's going on.
That's really amazing because I imagine, you yourself must be going through a lot, and to want to do this as a sort of public service, I think, is really quite commendable. I wanted to know how you felt about having to break the news to those that you have come into contact with.
It was definitely nerve-wracking. I needed to call my parents, the rest of my family, especially because I live with my parents who are a little bit older than the people I hang around with. I had to call my company, my siblings, and let everyone know. So it was definitely a little bit scary. But at the end of the day, you know, I had to do it because it's our responsibility, you know. No one wants to get this virus, but those who have gotten it, you know, you kind of owe it to other people to tell them where you've been and who you've been around.
And how did your friends and family react to hearing the news from you?
My parents were definitely very worried, but everyone was very supportive. Everyone wants us to get better. They worry, definitely. Everyone's been very worried here and there, getting a lot of messages, but it's nice to see the support in the community. No one's blaming each other. Everyone's just kind of trying to be there for each other right now.
Ashley, I'm also just curious, because I can hear sounds behind you and all that. What is the situation at the quarantine center like?
The situation here is kind of, it's just one, how it looks like, it's one big hall. Everyone's standing next to each other because we are considered low risk. There are separate beds for children and mothers. But for the most part, all of us are kind of in one big hall together. And everyone's just kind of doing their own thing. Everyone's resting. You have people sleeping or on their phones. Everyone's just trying to pass their day, you know, day by day.
Mm. And looking ahead then, how do you anticipate going back to regular life will be like, you know? Because, of course, once you recover, you return to work. I guess, how are you feeling about all that?
There's definitely a nervous aspect to it. You never know where you have gotten it or things like that. But my workplace, my company has been really supportive in terms of getting everyone tested, making sure that everything has been disinfected by an outsourced company. So I feel pretty comfortable going back to work. Everyone's very openly talking about it, which is nice. It's not kind of like oh, she's gotten it, you know, we have to stay away from her. We have all been educated on what happens after this. So it's pretty, I'm not that nervous. I don't think anyone should be. We should all just kind of take the steps necessary to curb this virus the best we can.
And speaking of taking those steps, you know, how do you deal with any of those negative emotions or feelings that might surface as you're going through all this?
So the first day for me was definitely just full of a lot of crying. I'm not going to lie. Trying to come to terms with what has happened. But the best thing that I found was just confiding in people who I trust. And getting a really, really good support system around you. I'm sure everyone in this room with me right now would agree that the only way they're getting through it is with speaking to family and, you know, friends that are really close and going through it together, learning what to do with this virus together. That's the best thing I can definitely tell people to do in terms of how to deal with those emotions.
Ashley, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
So that was Ashley, a COVID-19 patient who is currently undergoing quarantine at the low-risk quarantine center that has been set up by the government. I think those were the background sounds that you were hearing in the in that call. And that was because we've been talking today about the stigma that some former COVID-19 patients are saying that they have faced after recovery, and that is coming from the people closest to them. So let us know what your thoughts are on this. You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a message that's come through from Maggie.
Yes, so Maggie says, I would like to suggest to COVID or ex-COVID patients to try their best to be generous and forgiving towards those who are unkind in their fear and ignorance. But if the actions were attempts to stop infecting others in the family, I think the patients or ex-patients should not be oversensitive in such cases. For those of us who do witness acts of physical or verbal abuse, we should step in to stop the perpetrators, but we can't completely wipe out human prejudices.
Yeah, I think that that's a very reasonable point. I also do believe we have to overcome a certain amount of fear, right? And the idea is that you overcome that by being given facts and science. But somehow, looking at the kinds of communication that we've been receiving surrounding COVID-19, that does not seem to be sufficient. I don't know if it's about repetition of the facts. I don't know if it's about the fact that maybe the communication hasn't been clear enough, but I'm not sure that that's the case. I just feel as if because this is such an emotional topic, because there is so much fear surrounding it, somehow there is a little bit of a block to having that fear mitigated by simple facts, even though they are there to be read and seen.
I also think that there's been a lot of muddled messages. You know, you hear one thing for a few months and then it changes the months after. Some of it because we are also still finding things out about the virus. You know, but in terms of what can be done, what cannot be done, where people should be quarantined, how much contact constitutes close contact. So these things keep changing. And so I think a lot of people, their knee-jerk reaction would be to take the most extreme measure in terms of how to prevent themselves from getting infected. We do have another WhatsApp from Irfan who says, such a close topic to us, our neighbors, the whole family was tested positive for COVID and they've already completed all the necessary measures. They got admitted to Sungai Buloh for a few days and then discharged. All are well. What ironically is not well are all the other people. They've shut their doors to any communication with them. Their kids don't want to play with these with those people's kids anymore. The family feels uncomfortable to even go out to buy groceries. Actually, the whole fiesta of the ambulance that came the other day and picked up the whole family looked really major and left fear in all of those who don't understand. That's really heartbreaking.
That's a very and that's a very unfortunate thing, isn't it? The fact that it is going to be an ambulance, that is how things go. And I think the sounds, weirdly enough, the sounds of the sirens of the ambulance have become an increasingly common sound, right, for many of us. And nevertheless, it is still one of those things that is very triggering. I think it strikes a lot of fear in people to see an ambulance parked in front of a house. And so Irfan raises such a good point. And also that thing about the kids.
I know, yeah.
It's really sad because that's where I guess the communication, right, and the education is going to be more important than ever. Let us know what your thoughts are on the fact that former COVID-19 patients are speaking out about the fact that they are facing social stigma and how difficult it is for them to return to daily life after. Is this something that you've seen, experienced, just witnessed? What are your thoughts on it? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.